We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my Wild Country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
They read poetry at a basketball game.
With Dusty Hera.
You're just one thing, dude. You have to use so many cuss words.
And Cam Cleland.
Nunchuck skills, bow hunting skills, computer hacking skills. Girls only want boyfriends who have great skills.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
First you gotta do the truffle shuffle. Come on! Do it!
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, 8:05. Dusty and Cam, we were talking Pac-12 after Phil Steele's interview. Should you want, Phil Steele says Washington is the last hope for the Pac-12 to get into the playoff. Should you want success for UW because the conference needs to be in the playoff? In the Pac-12, there is a big separation between the conference and the schools that play within it. I think a lot of that goes to kind of the history of the conference, where teams have kind of bounced in and out so often. It's not a very old conference. But we have a lot of texters that say, you know, I'd rather have it be like last year, have no team in the playoffs than the freaking Huskies in it. Everything you're saying makes sense, but I still never be happy about the Ducks winning. That's from North Plains Adam.
Yeah.
No. Would rather have wait for Oregon to give the conference credibility. Huck the Fuskies. That comes in a lot here. And then we also get like, I want to see like Oregon fans going, I want to see Washington's fan base suffer. You know, that's what mm-hmm. they want to see. But that's not the point. You're not hoping UW wins. You're hoping the conference gets more credibility. SEC, their whole slogan is it just means more.
Yeah.
They find ways to justify even your most bitter rival giving the conference credibility.
You know, before I got hired here and I did radio, and I had that sense of, man, I can't believe what Oregon's doing. And I'm going to be honest. There was a part of me I said, I can't get, and then the light bulb clicked with me where I said, you know, blind loyalty is true, but what is going to benefit more recruits coming here, more finance? Right now, we're fifth in a business model out of five in the Pac-12. We're fifth, dead last mm-hmm. in revenue generating for sports and revenue generation for an entire conference. That means dead last. No matter how much you have hatred towards your team or anything like that, do you like that your conference last? Let me rephrase it this way. What would happen if part of the money and all that money that's influxed into the conference started taking away, other sports? What happens when football players and basketball players get paid and other sports get taken away and their budgets are cut because you don't generate enough revenue with football and basketball because you don't care as much? There is a logic behind what's best for a conference. You know, and this texter said, I understand the argument, fellas, you make a good point, but we have the facts. The Pac-12 isn't a great football conference. It's not.
No.
Compared to the rest of the country, and that's okay. But those other conferences care about football more. My point.
Well, that's
and
that's
then
the
this finishes with, however, I think forgetting the fact that the Pac-12 is probably the strongest conference overall in sports, that's something to hang your hat on.
Yeah.
You know what that's to hang your hat on? That's to hang your hat on some trophies in a room that nobody looks at.
Here's a text. Recent OSU grad, just moved to Connecticut. Everyone asks, isn't that the Ducks? Like it or not, their success gets noticed and makes the Pac-12 look good. Nobody over here knows anyone outside the top couple of schools. Still, go Beavs. And that is, you know, that is, and that's what you, that is kind of shifting the focus of, you know, like fans here, SEC, you go Alabama, Auburn,
you know them
Georgia,
all. You
LSU,
know them all.
Tennessee, right? You mm-hmm. Florida. You can list six schools right off the top that you're familiar with those football programs.
Yeah.
If you go into that country, you go Pac-12, they go USC, Oregon, Washington.
Say it with a question mark.
Right.
And they probably couldn't even tell you who the other teams are. Said, Utah?
And that
Oregon
is why
State? Why the Cougs?
That's why you want to build that. you want the conference to succeed, but I think these textures are starting to get it. I want Oregon, or I want Washington to blast Auburn, then Oregon to blast Washington.
No, that makes sense.
And that is, that's the thinking like down south. And that's an Ohio State fan who's like, we hope that Michigan comes into the game undefeated and then we blast them.
Yeah.
That's what everybody should want. And it should raise the bar for Oregon and Oregon State and Washington State. But I think that there is a sense of apathy, though, in some fan bases. Like it's settling in at Oregon State, where there was a bar that was being raised incrementally. Mm-hmm. And now it's just like, well, we're still going to be bad. And the Washington State fan chimed in with, when the Ducks were winning, we still sucked. So why?
Yeah, but you as Cougs team are as, just as relevant as anybody up here in the North with your success at bowl games and having Coach Leach giving you national recognition. You're $60 million in debt. Do you want your conference better so you can have more money to pay your coaches, to get more coaches, to hold on to Alex Grinch and hold on to some of those guys? Do you want to be able to do that, or do you want to continue to lose coaches because you can't pay them? And do you want to be able to have the kind of facilities that match up? This is, it's a basic logic to me. You're $20 million behind the Big 12.
Yeah.
Do you know what that does for your school?
$20
million?
Cameron.
It's pride. The blind, dumb pride sometimes that we look at it, we hold on to it, but we have our connection here. We have other things to do. I go, all right, fine. We don't have to care about football out here. Then you just be happy with 8-8 and a Holiday Bowl. 8-8 is a football. That's a NFL.
That's
score.
NFL.
Sorry.
I think you're talking
7-5. 8 wins, 10 wins. Be happy with that, and just, all right, we'll let the Big 12, the Big 10, the SEC, and the ACC.
Yeah, you don't. And here's the thing: Phil Steele said it's kind of Washington. And that's it for the Pac-12 getting in the playoff. You don't have to be a fan of Washington. We're not saying that. Find a way to justify the conference's success, and that is what the SEC's entire motto of "It just means more" is about. You find a way to justify the conference over any loyalty you have.
I have a question for you as a fan or anybody out there. If you went into SEC country and you walked in with your duck shirt on, your Beaver shirt on, your Husky shirt on, or your Cougar shirt on, and you started getting into a discussion about the conference, do you think an Arkansas fan, do you think a, I don't know, Georgia, do you think a Texas A&M fan would even let you start to utter the words, your conference is better than ours? Because they'd immediately start saying, well, we have Mississippi, we have this. They'd just start defending every single team in front of you and go down their entire 16 roster before they say, we got 16 better than you. You know what you let Oregon, you let SEC fan do when they come out to us here in the comp? You let them say, yep, you're right. Oh, yeah, you're right. We got one, though. We got one or two. You would let that happen. And there's the difference.
That texture who said, you know, back in Connecticut, they're always like, oh, Ducks, right? When I went down to Houston for the World Series, I remember mentioning this when we got back, is that they have like walls with, and we went into a memorabilia store, and they have walls with like college football helmets, all the college football helmets in the state. They had like TCU, Houston, Texas, Texas A&M, Texas Tech, whatever. They also had them from other conferences. There were probably 30 University of Oregon helmets in there. 30. I mean, and that was far and away the most. There's Marcus Mariota, LaMichael James helmets that were autographed in there. There were two other Pac-12 helmets, and they were both USC helmets. Two.
There you go.
There was USC, but there were about 30 University of Oregon helmets in a Houston, Texas memorabilia store. Other than that, it was two USC helmets, and the rest were SEC and
you
Texas.
You only sell what's sellable.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing sellable to this conference right now.
You need more. Mm-hmm. And it'll raise the bar for everybody
else.
Will. It really will. And the success that Oregon had, believe it or not, Duck fan, is why Washington is where it's at right now.
Absolutely it is.
Because they said no.
No. Chris Peterson said, I want to be part of that. I want to do that. I want to change that because this is not acceptable. And, you know, schools are going to be motivated. USC was motivated. UCLA hired Chip Kelly. You see Kevin Sumlin coming in now. Jonathan Smith comes from a Washington staff, but he's a former Beaver and wants to elevate. These are all things that the conference needs to do. The coaches are just as fired up to get this done as anybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
They like their jobs. They like the money.
Yep. You guys have been trying to tell my to my whole Beaver family, and it'll never land. They don't get it. Blinded by too much hate.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I don't know why you have hate, but that's
not asking you to root for anybody else. But we do need the conference to be better. Be better. And you know what? Duck said, you know, hey, enough is enough. They ran Mark Helfrich, who took that team to a national title right out of town. And they said, we need to start spending on our staff. You brought in Jim Levitt.
Yeah.
You brought Willie Taggart in, but he went all flighty.
I challenge you out there that are fans of the conference. Next time you're getting into a rivalry conversation, turn it into a conference conversation and ask what's good for the conference. Just try it. Try it once in a while with each other and see what conversation spurs from there. Can you think outside the box? Can you try to do something to take a different look as a group? I know it sounds like, oh, everybody gets a blue ribbon, but it isn't. That's how far behind we are here.
Yeah.
Try it once.
If you take away our blind, dumb pride, what do we have left as college sports fans? That's on the Better You Today text line. Hate the school. Find a way to rationalize it like SEC fans do, and the conference will be in a better place. All right. Wow, I don't even know where to go from here. We got some NFL chatter. Also, we didn't get to any NBA stuff. It's 8:15 on the Fan. This conversation's not dying. You know, I think that this is a good one, though. This is a great text from P1 Steve. You want the conference to be viewed in a better light? Then step up and don't lay an egg in the spotlight when the spotlight is on you. One can only take care of themselves. The Pac-12 has dribbled it down their leg on the national stage quite a few times.
It starts with Oregon. Two national championship chances. How different is this conference if they have two national championships?
Quite a bit different.
Catastrophically different. In a good way. I know that's a tough word to say.
I don't.
Stay with me on this.
It's drastically different.
There's words that you can use to describe. But if you have two national championship trophies along with a Heisman Trophy championship award,
yes,
this conference is locked in for 10 years of national recognition.
Yep.
And this is big time.
Yep.
But when you dribble it down and you lay an egg,
Michael Dyer is down.
Everybody looks at it. What USC? Dribbling it down their leg versus Alabama, getting beat by 50. Washington getting thumped by Alabama in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, all these things like this, you go, you have a shot. What team and what group is going to be the one that stands up and says, finally, we got over the hump? I don't know what game it's going to be. Yeah. I'll tell you what, the Pac-12's got an answer right out of the gate with Washington and Auburn. We'll see what happens there.
And that's a good place to start.
The college football playoff, when Oregon hammered Florida State in the Rose Bowl... That was a good moment for the conference.
It was big time.
You know, and at that time, I do remember people were like, okay, well, you know, it'll be good for the Pac-12. Even Beaver and Husky fans like, gosh, we don't want Oregon to win. You don't want, but it'd be good for the Pac-12 because it would be somebody else besides USC too.
Yes. Yes, it would be someone. So everyone says Pete Carroll. When's the last time somebody won a championship? All we ever say is USC and Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
What do you say about the Big Ten? Oh, last one is Ohio State's pretty good. No, that's not bad. Okay, what do you say about the SEC? Oh, they got them all.
Yeah.
The ACC got some.
Yeah. This texture says, I'm late, but want to add my two cents. As a lifelong Bama fan, I was disgusted a few years ago when I discovered Bama fans were buying Duck shirts and rooting for them over Auburn. I always root for Auburn until they play us, and they were representing not only the SEC, but the state of Alabama in that game. So it's all SEC fans are pro SEC no matter what.
And yes, losing by 3 on the last play to Auburn isn't dribbling down your leg.
No.
Yeah, it is. On the national stage, when you lose a game.
Michael Dyer was down.
I get it. I get it, Dusty. But you have plenty of shots to win that game. There's 70 to 80 plays in a game. When you go on the national stage, you can't. You want to walk away a champ? You can't make mistakes. And that's part of football and that's part of sports. And I'd say that against any team. Yeah. But when you don't do it against the best teams in the country and you're Notre Dame and they go in and they think that they're all that and they go and they play Alabama and they just get stomped and everyone says, oh, Notre Dame, that's different.
Yeah. The last one, Oregon just got hammered by Ohio State too. And that I can agree with. That was just like, whoa.
People forget that was a 1-point game in the third quarter though.
Yeah, it was.
And then they ended up getting their butts.
The final 15 minutes.
Ohio State just went
hammer. Yeah. And there have been, I mean, that doesn't help the conference's perception either, is it's not just losing, but with the flair that the Pac-12 has lost their games in recently, too. Ugh,
it's just, it's whether it's infuriating.
Washington in the college football playoff, Oregon in the Alamo Bowl against TCU. It's like, you have these memorable meltdowns where you're just like, oh my God, UCLA against Texas A&M, where that was, they actually rallied back.
Can I tell you what the last biggest, most impressive win in this conference in a long time? Can I tell you? It's USC beating Penn State in the Rose Bowl the way they did, coming back with Sam Darnold. Name another exciting game in the Pac-12 that we have been able to go, wow, statement for the conference. Name one in the last 5 years.
Well, that Florida State one, I think, was a good statement because that Florida State team hadn't lost a game in 2 years.
Great.
2013.
And they... Okay?
Yeah, and that's a while ago.
That's
hammered them.
This is a what have you done for me lately sport.
Is it... Did USC beat Notre Dame last year? Was that the game? Was that the game that it was?
Which game?
It was a pretty good game. I don't know. What Notre Dame is either Stanford.
The fact that I don't remember
it,
and it means to tell you, yeah, it was all right.
Well, I'm trying to find a win, Cam. Jeez,
I know.
Man. No, Stanford went 0-3 in their non-conference.
Well, and Cam, you bring up that Auburn national championship game. The other thing about that for Oregon, regardless about the fact it was close, that Oregon team was putting up like 60 points a game, and they just got absolutely stuffed.
They got stomped on over and over again. Yeah, I mean, it changed everything about how
it was. Went for it on fourth and goal early in the game, snuffed out.
And then Cam Newton became the guy that everybody remembers.
Well, Cam Newton was
the Heisman
guy everybody remembers before that game.
So was the Bagman.
Yeah.
Michael Dyer became memorable, though. I'm going to say it again. Michael Dyer was down.
Yes, he was.
Gosh, that game. Okay. Well, good conversation, folks. I'm glad we all are going to agree to disagree, but I feel as if the Pac-12 needs a champion soon. And
well, what's soon, in your opinion? What is soon? In the next 10 years?
No.
I'm
saying within 3 years, the Pac-12 needs to win a national championship.
And the crazy thing is I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't. I honestly can stare you in and look at it and talk at this till I'm blue in the face. I don't know how they're going to do it with the way it's set up.
You know what's terrifying, you know, talking to Phil Steele, and he's like, look, it does come down to, it's a one team, one horse race for the Pac-12. Is that if you look at kind of how he's figuring Auburn goes this year, where they'll be good, but they won't be great. The Pac-12's hope of the college football playoff might be done week one. I mean, like that is...
It's true.
Could they, you know, could a team, like if USC finds a way to run the table, yeah, obviously they'd be in that conversation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stanford, we know, will have a hiccup a couple times this season.
Right.
It's Stanford. They always do.
And Oregon, you, Justin Herbert, you pray to God he stays healthy.
If number 10 stays healthy, they could make some real noise. But with your non-conference schedule, Bowling Green, San Jose State, and Portland State aren't getting you anywhere. We saw that last year.
Just wait till ESPN puts cupcakes in front of your team. See how that goes.
Well, that'll be fine. I think cupcakes are delicious. But here's the thing. Why did Washington get upset at that? Because it was a cupcake schedule.
It was a cupcake.
There were fans that
were livid.
How dare they? Oh,
because
shut
we're
up.
The outraged capital of the world, Northwest. How many protests do we need to have here?
They were right. ESPN was right.
Yes. Nobody gets protest and angry and outrage.
Yeah.
If a football team was brought here, they'd be the Portland Outragers. They'd be the Northwest Outragers.
The only thing that was wrong with what ESPN did was that they had pink cupcakes. I mean, at least make them purple and gold if you're going to have Washington's schedule be mocked. But yeah, Oregon does have a cupcake schedule. I said it.
We should. You know what we're going to do right before season starts?
Yeah, because SEC wimped out.
Yeah, we're going to get a bunch of teams that we think are top 25 teams. We're going to compare schedules and go cupcakes or not. We're going to serve cupcakes to each other.
God, that sounds
like a
lot of work.
Top 25.
And this text shed, good point. Pac-12 needs to quit shooting itself in the foot with scheduling. If they want to consistently make the playoffs, we have seen it does not matter if you play a tough conference schedule or not. Oregon, Washington should quit playing Auburn and LSU and Ohio State. They're just stealing, they're setting themselves up to get knocked out of the playoffs at the start of every season. And this is what it comes back to. Arizona State plays Michigan State. Oregon State's playing Ohio State. And
UCLA is playing
Oklahoma. Okay, those three games right there, those three schools, Ohio State, Michigan State, and Oklahoma, were
bowling
going
three.
Yeah, let's play a Pac-12 team, but let's not play a good one.
Yeah.
And so they went, yep, that looks good.
Let's do that.
And so they went after three programs that they were like, those are going to be down programs. Those aren't the cream of the crop. They never were.
Yep.
No, nobody, like, do either one of those, like UCLA and Arizona State, it's always been next year's going to be the year. And then you have Oregon State, which when that game was scheduled, they were a solid, not elite program. All right. Now let's play Kawhi or not Kawhi. A game we talked about playing last week involving Kawhi Leonard and his marketability and need to be the man. Do you know what he sounds like? Okay, we played last week a game of would you know who Kawhi Leonard is if he speaks? This guy is saying he wants to be the face of the franchise according to his camp because Kawhi Leonard isn't speaking to anybody about anything this offseason. He wants to go to LA. He wants more endorsements. He wants to get a big shoe deal. He's saying that in San Antonio, he can't be that guy because he's in San Antonio. And he's kept under wraps under the R.C. Buford, Greg Popovich regime. But my thing is that, Kawhi, you're not marketable because we don't know who you are. You know, have you ever heard Kawhi Leonard speak?
Yeah, I've a couple interviews. Very short.
Really? You have you? It's because we are going to play a brand new game of Kawhi or not Kawhi. Ooh, Family Feud. I like it.
You guys excited for this?
All right. So set it up, Buck.
Yeah, so basically what we have are a number of sound bites that either are Kawhi or are not Kawhi. So I'm going to play these sound bites for you and let you guys conference among yourselves, decide whether it is or is not Kawhi Leonard on the other end of that bite.
Oh,
so
boy.
Here we go. Here's the first one.
Yeah, you know, it's NBA. There is always a lot of players in every team. So I guess you always have to win your spot.
No, that's Tony Parker. That's an easy one to start with.
Well,
it's a Frenchman.
You're right. It's not Kawhi, but it's not Tony Parker either.
Nicolas Batum.
No, that would be Joffrey Laverne. So that was an easy one. You had an accent.
Joffrey?
Dude, that's Game of Thrones right there.
I know, King Joffrey. So international accent there. So let's try another one. No international accent.
Okay.
Man, it's tough because if you look at the games we play in a row, we have good leads and we end up blowing them from, you know, turning the ball over, transition D. So I can't really speak on it, you know, but I feel like we'll get better at it as the time go, you know, different lineups, just everything's different, you know. We're trying to figure out one another and coaches, you know, trying to figure out everything too.
Not Kawhi Leonard.
Dusty, do you agree? Not Kawhi Leonard?
I don't know. I'm going to say that is not Kawhi Leonard.
Correct. That would be DeJounte Murray.
Oh, DeJounte Murray.
Oh, okay.
All right, got another one for you.
All right, let's go.
I mean, I feel like he played well last year for us. We went to the semifinals. But just the same thing, just come in and be a presence on both ends of the floor, be aggressive. Just like I said, we all going to talk to each other more and just build a better team chemistry. We got new players here. So, I mean, I think everything he did last year was good. You can't complain.
That is Kawhi Leonard.
You think so?
I think so. I feel like that one is. For some reason, I'm going with my first reaction to this. It's been a while since I've heard him talk.
Yeah. That's correct. That was also Kawhi Leonard.
Wow. That's what Kawhi
Leonard
sounds
like. So that is what Kawhi Leonard sounds like, but we got a couple others because I'm still not sure you're going to be able to distinguish him against some other teammates. So.
Just growing up young, around 8 years old, you know, grew a love for the passion to play the sport. So probably around 15, 16, I knew I had an opportunity to go to the NBA.
See, that is what I would imagine Kawhi Leonard sounds like.
Is that him?
That is not him.
I think that is him.
Well, you guys are split. That is not him. That is former Trailblazer LaMarcus Aldridge.
Mm-hmm. That's not LaMarcus.
That is LaMarcus. Just growing up young, around 8 years old, you know, grew a love for the passion of play.
That is not LaMarcus.
I got my list mixed up. That is Kawhi Leonard.
Ah, in your face!
I was reading my own key, my own answer key wrong. Okay.
See? I know LaMarcus. I know LaMarcus. Oh, yeah, LaMarcus there is was very not low enough you knows or
us. And ums and us. Some fillers.
I did not try to fall asleep.
Let's try this one on for size.
Okay. It's great. You know, I'm asking questions all game, and I guess it's forcing me to talk, so I can't be wrong. So it's a good place to be in. They just have to be on their P's and Q's because they're wrong. I'm telling Pop, it was their fault.
Oh, yeah, no, he had personality. That's not quality.
That is, isn't that. Is that Denny? No, I'm going to say Denny Green. It's not.
Well, you guys are right. It is not Kawhi Leonard. Yeah. That is, in fact, Rudy Gay.
Rudy Gay. Okay.
Oh, well, he made people laugh. It was definitely not Kawhi.
No, it's not Kawhi.
How about this one?
Yeah, just coming back from the rodeo road trip, it's always tough to play this first home game. But we came out a little sluggish, and Pacers came out ready to play. But we just wanted to, you know, keep our pace for the 48 minutes of the game, keep grinding it out, and hopefully we could get a win like we did tonight.
That sound a little bit like LaMarcus Aldridge. Yes, that's Kawhi.
Is that Kawhi? That is Kawhi.
You guys know you're Kawhi Leonard.
Hold on a minute. Listen to the difference here.
Yeah, just coming back from the rodeo.
Just growing up young, around 8 years old. Like, I mean, I feel like he played well last year. Just
so those growing are up both young, Kawhi. Both 4 and 7 are Kawhi.
You can't decide. He has like 3 different voices.
How about this one?
That was the theme, you know. I mean, LaMarcus. You know, they're leaving certain there guys open. So, you know, if you're open shooting, I thought guys, you know, play with confidence.
There's the
took
shots
with confidence and just made moves.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Gosh, missed those interviews.
Yeah. Got a bonus for you too. You ready for this one? Kawhi or not Kawhi? This is a special from intern Christian.
No, estábamos en un momento de desesperación en el sentido de que no había mañana, como dijimos ya varias veces, y uno deja todo en la cancha. A veces pasa que terminan entrando los tiros y otras veces no. Bueno, hoy se dio así, tanto yo como Kyle o DeJounte.
Yeah, you get the idea.
That's Manu Ginobili.
That is Manu, correct.
Manu Ginobili. See, and that is
you guys
what,
are pretty good at this game.
Like, you will not be able to... If you're Kawhi Leonard, you're not going to be a marketable person. If that is you.
But there are a lot of guys that talk like that are
who?
Marketable. What do you mean? That talk like what? In monotone?
That nobody knows. That like... You're,
Shaq?
You are looking at
oh, no.
personality.
Oh,
Shaq has a huge personality.
Oh, I know he has a personality, but it's not like you go, hey, Jim Tillman, and we're going to play over here, and we're going to... Shaq,
okay.
Same interview, kind of.
But you have no idea... Shaq at least makes it entertaining with what comes out of
his
mouth.
His game is different, too, right?
Well, you, like, yeah. Everything about him is boring.
Yeah.
Like, there is... In that thing, you heard 3 different Kawhi voices. Nothing of that made you be like, yes, that guy, that's going to be $100 million
But Dusty, maybe once he gets to a place where... And this is a fair comment, because Colin hit this the other day, too. Coward hit this, and I've felt like this, too, is that... Greg Popovich makes these guys this way. Mm. His entire persona, Popovich is we before you. That's what you have to be like. Stifle your personality. Put the team before everybody else. Nothing is bigger than the team, which I do admire and I like. But in today's world, from Tim Duncan being the guy to the Admiral, think about the guys that he's always had. Manu, Tony Parker. Now LA, and then you see all these guys, and then you see Kawhi. They all have been told to squeeze into this personality that Pop is the one that says stuff. Popovich is the one that controls the roost. Nobody talks above me. You are stifled down. And if you look at this, and if you look at the great coaches like Steve Kerr's, like, have an opinion. Do what you want to do. Basketball allowed. Even Phil Jackson allowed the personalities to happen. Popovich does not allow personalities.
Okay,
doesn't want
that,
them.
Within that, then, how many guys is Kawhi Leonard running around with around the league, right?
Here's the thing, when
you go and you cover the San Antonio Spurs... You go into the Pop is cracking jokes before the interviews,
yeah, but it's always
popping
about
jokes
him.
After. No, and then Tim Duncan is receptive before the mics turn on, before the cameras turn on, and then he goes into that mode. All those guys in that locker room were like that, and it's like they're talking, but when it's live, boom, they just kind of shut down. They go into that Pop mode. You're right. Kawhi Leonard was not. He was that, the same kind, like the same.
I don't know if I believe that. I
saw it.
Good for you. I know you saw that.
With
I've
my
been
eyes.
In the locker room, and I've also sat in the Patriots locker room when there's tons of personalities weren't allowed to be that way.
Well, and what I'm saying,
not allowed to be a certain way, and when that is done that way, I think a lot of guys, once they leave or they do that, they win a championship, they have the experience, and then they go, I am tired of being under this umbrella of control. I want to go be somebody different. And I admire that. If Kawhi wants to get out, we might see a different personality to where you get a true Kawhi Leonard.
That would be a stunner. That would be a stunner. Like, in people that cover the team are like, he's not one of the guys that is leading the charge and going out and hanging out with the guys after and is this boisterous personality in the locker room. You know, that thing, that it factor, the marketability factor that we're talking about with he wants big time endorsement deals and stuff.
I just think he wants to be happy, man. I don't see something.
Well, you have no doubt about that.
I don't think it, there, I don't no think it really matters about that. I think that's just kind of goes hand in hand. I think he just doesn't want to be under this iron fist of Popovich anymore. And I can understand that.
And it doesn't take a big personality to want to get out from under that.
No.
No doubt about it whatsoever. But Kawhi or not Kawhi. All right. What is going on at the Air Force Academy with their football program? And we get you set for the day on the Fan, 8:45. Have you seen what Air Force coach Troy Calhoun is doing in Colorado Springs?
I've caught the gist of it, yes.
He is refusing to let anybody know who his defensive coordinator is.
So does that mean he's currently on staff and he's just not identified which position coach actually has the play calling?
And here's the thing about the military academies.
You would give up your location.
Right.
Clandestine.
The academy's head coach is paid by the academy, so it's a government employee. But the assistant coach salaries are all paid privately. So when the reporters tried to Freedom of Information Act Air Force, the academy was like, yeah, no, he's not a government employee. His salary is private. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to tell you who he is.
Yeah.
Nobody knows who their defensive coordinator is. Is this a petty move?
No, it's secretive. We're in the military here. We have to tell you everything.
But how does it help opponents?
How effective
is it? Or how does
it
help them against opponents? If an opponent knows who the DC is that an advantage?
I mean, I guess you could look at some film, but...
I don't really think so. I've never got to the point where I go, in any film study, went, wow, I wonder who that DC is.
Well, and here's the thing, is that therefore, is like you may understand it if you have an opponent you think you're going to potentially have a good game with or may lose to, but their first game is against Stony Brook. So it's like, what are you trying to hide secrets from them? Because every other team after that will have film on you and they'll know who it is. And is it really that hard to find out who it is?
Maybe it's about a job title issue that he doesn't want to have to worry about upsetting somebody. You know, who's going to make the calls eventually? Hey, a bunch of guys throw some calls at me. You all end up picking it. Who knows? I mean, I was trying to make it fair for everybody.
I guess so. Or what if they just haven't been able to fill the position?
True.
You know? I mean, what if you're just sitting there looking around
like,
we only got a couple weeks before it starts. But they had and this is a really cool deal. I think they should do this here in Oregon. And I don't know why they do. But in the state of Colorado, they have a coaches summit where it's the head coach of Colorado, Colorado State, Air Force, Northern Colorado, and then Colorado Pueblo, I think the D2 school. So you have all of your major schools up there in like one big press gathering, and it's like a junket where they tell stories, they have a moderator, and then they answer questions from the media. Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be cool.
I'd go to that.
Yeah.
I'd check that out, not just because I'm a media member, but I think that'd be cool to see Jonathan Smith, Mario Cristobal, Barney up on a stage together, chopping it up, talking football, answering questions.
A little town hall.
Yeah. Yeah. Give me a little bit of that action. But Troy Calhoun will not let anybody know what is happening with his defensive quarterback.
What if he'll do that with his quarterbacks and his wide receivers? I'm not going to let you know any depth at all whatsoever.
Somebody's trying that. Oh, wait.
No such thing
as depth
charts.
Michigan does that every year.
Well, Notre Dame puts no names on the back of their uniforms.
Well, that's not to, so you don't know who it is.
That's because we're all one team.
That's right.
Don't want you to look at the names.
Yeah.
Drives people nuts. Who is that player?
Yeah. Which number 11 is that? Also, yeah, coming in from the new world of sports, Pac-Man Jones was in a fight at the Atlanta airport.
Uh-oh.
He was not arrested.
I'm watching the video right now, and it is wild.
An airport employee.
A TSA?
No, he's an orange vest guy. So maybe he's one of the director flagger guys.
The director guys got him.
But he was, they're walking down the walkway in the terminal. And apparently, as the TMZ report says, the airport employee started saying something to Pac-Man and his girlfriend, made a gesture to Pac-Man.
Uh-oh.
And then Pac-Man's like, dude, what gives? Confronted him on it, and then the other guy started swinging, and Pac-Man Jones dropped him in the airport.
And the other guy's got 2 counts of assault against him now.
Yeah, and
you throw first.
The airport employee is going to lose his job.
Yeah.
He got dropped by Pac-Man Jones, didn't even land a punch, and got arrested.
Not a good day.
Talk about a case of the Wednesdays for that guy.
I don't feel sorry for him.
Yeah, me neither. Me neither.
Never underestimate the power of stupid.
But we do every day.
Mm-hmm. That we do, sir.
Every day.
But as the one texter pointed out, if we don't have stupid in sports, where would all our fans go?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Man, I just got enamored with tennis for some reason. Roger Federer, Rafael Nadal.
Yeah, we got a fifth set tiebreak.
Federer's in a 7-7 tiebreaker in the fifth set.
Ultimate set, no tiebreak, is what I'm hearing from Swag.
Is that what it is?
I don't know what
it's
winner.
It's whoever wins the next game.
It's an ultimate set. It never ends.
And Federer's down right now, 30-15. Oh, man.
Oh.
This is great radio.
Roger. It's all drama.
This is some drama.
We have some great sports today. Summer League action. You've got baseball in the World Cup. Croatia taking on England.
Who you got?
Croatia.
Okay, I'm going to take
England. I took them as my favorite
England,
team.
Because they have great beer celebrations.
Throw the beer up in the air. Mm-hmm. All right. Up next, the Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon to 3 during break, 3 to 7. Primetime with Isaac and Souk, 7 to 9. The Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch. Have a great Wednesday. We'll see you Thursday right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.